I'm going to have this card put up up on the back foyer there. This is one of the ministries that we give to. It's the FAC. It's the County FAC. It's Family Advocacy Center, and we as a church support that and donate to that, and we gave them a $1,000 gift. And I'll just read this. This is from the county attorney. Dear Pastor Heckathorn and Living Faith Church Congregation, thank you much for your sponsorship in the 2018 Put It on the Tee for the FAC Golf Tournament, supporting Navajo County Family Advocacy Center. With your support, this fundraiser was a great success. On behalf of all the sexually and physically abused children that the FAC assist, thank you for your support. Your love has made a great difference. Yours truly, Brad Carlin, Navajo County Attorney. So we as the church, we operate in the community. We operate with FAC. We operate with the community fast. And so we're going to be talking about those things a little bit later on towards Christmas, of the things that this church does in the community that you need to be aware of. I need you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. How about that one? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall also with Him we appear in glory. So I want to just reiterate today, seek. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. Now go back with me to Ephesians. Chapter 2. Holy Spirit of God, we ask today for your direction in this, Holy Spirit of God, I ask you to enable me to minister by the Spirit of the living God, what you have done in and for us. And Father, in that we have responsibilities unto you. And so I pray the blessing of the Lord on what we read today. And what we study in Jesus' name, amen. Before I read Ephesians, I want to go back to Exodus chapter 25. How many know that we are a Bible church? If you come here, you need to bring your Bible. I teach the Bible. Amen. I'm amazed that people don't come to church with a Bible. I had to take a Bible to church all my life as a kid. In Exodus 25, God says something very specific to Moses and the children of Israel. And God said, I have taken you out of Egypt, and I have set you free. And God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, set my people free, let my people go, that they may worship me in the wilderness. God has brought you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light of His dear Son to worship Him and have communion with Him. And God said, when you come into the desert, God said, verse 22, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee, and from above the mercy seat and between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. God said, I want to meet with you and I want to commune with you. And in the meeting with God, we have the benefits and the blessings of God. In communing with God, how many know that in communion with God, we have responsibility? How many like the benefits and the blessings of God? I want all the benefits and blessings of God. If you don't, you're crazy. Amen. But if you study the Word of God, God didn't just tell him, I just want to meet with you. He said, I want to meet with you and commune with you. And commune, in the Hebrew, what that word means, commune, it says shared benefits, shared blessings, shared responsibilities. Everybody say with me, shared responsibilities. I didn't get the same response as I did on blessings and benefits. Man, I got smiling faces, hands up. But when it came to responsibilities, it was a different response. Now it's quiet as a church mouse. Why is it that we demand from God the blessings and the benefits, but when it comes to the responsibilities, we're slack there? Why? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you today. How many know that in New York last night, There was a witches group that held a seance and held a meeting to curse Judge Kavanaugh. It's on. They played it on Fox this morning. You know how long that meeting lasted? 3 hours. For 3 hours, they prayed to curse Judge Kavanaugh. And they played it on Fox, and I listened to it. I looked for it on YouTube, and I was going to play it, and the Lord said, don't even allow that in the church, so I won't play it. But they prayed that his wife would be a widow. Absolutely did. They prayed his wife would be a widow, his daughters would be fatherless. The love of the leftist, progressive left wing. Don't get mad at me because I said that. Truth is truth. And I'm mad as you know what about some of the things going on in this country. And God says you can get mad or you can get spiritual. Because the answer to this is spiritual. Getting mad won't do it. Won't change anything. Getting spiritual will. So, that meeting lasted 3 hours. You have a church meeting today for 3 hours, and half the people won't be back next Sunday. So I'm going to preach a message today that I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm tired of a cotton candy gospel in America. I'm tired of a cotton candy gospel that doesn't change nothing, that we see our nation going into the abyss of hell. We see our nation going down. I got news for you. If you're living in sin and you come here, the Holy Spirit of God will convict you of sin. I asked God if I could preach a cotton candy gospel and we could build a big church. And God said, I will never allow you to preach a cotton candy gospel. I got to promise you. I know how to preach a cotton candy gospel. And we could build a huge church. But I got news for you. There are people in cotton candy gospel churches today that aren't going to heaven. Amen? Don't get mad at me because I'm preaching like Jesus talked. Don't get mad at me because I'm preaching like Jesus talked. Well, Pastor, you're angry. No, I see our nation slipping into the abyss.
That's right.
Slipping into the abyss. And the church, we want to just come and have church as usual and normal?
No.
3 hour service last night, cursing Judge Kavanaugh. Yes. You know, they tried it on President Trump, this same group. Yes. You know what is amazing to me? They charge $10 for you to go. The devil makes you pay. I don't want to give my tithes and offerings to God. The devil makes you pay too. I was up on the Navajo reservation and I was dealing with a Navajo brother who got saved and he was a preacher. And I said, tell me your testimony of how you came to Jesus Christ. He said, I'm glad you asked. He said, I want to give you my testimony of how I came to Jesus Christ. He said, me and my family were always sick. We were always sick. And he said, we would go down to our witch doctor, and she would remove the hex. And we would be well for 2 weeks. But on the way out the door, they had to pay her $60. And people don't want to give their tithes to God. I know people that are serving the devil that the devil makes them pay for their drugs, makes them pay for their booze, makes them pay for their sex.
Oh, yeah.
My God, my God. You're going to serve God. Bob Dylan was right. You're going to serve one or the other.
Yep.
If Bob Dylan can figure it out, anybody can.
Right.
My God, if what do you say? I can figure it out. If Bob Dylan can, you're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody. That's a fact. You will serve God or you'll serve the devil. There's no in between.
Yeah.
If Bob Dylan figured it out, you can too. And he blew his brain up on drugs, and he still figured it out.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh, man.
Right.
I feel like preaching today. So he told me, he said, well, he said, we kept going to the witch doctor for years. We'd get sick. He said she'd pray over us, do her spells and whatever. And he said, we'd get better. And then he said, I caught her one day. He said, I caught her one day. I said, caught her what? He said, when we would walk out the door, she would re-hex us.
Mm-hmm. So they had to come back.
She had them on a revolving door.
Yeah.
And every time they had to pay, $60.
Right.
Every time they had to pay,
$60.
Every time they had to pay. My God, my God. I thought the devil was free. I thought, oh my God, he makes you pay. The devil will make you pay. The Bible says the way of the transgressor, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. And he said, one day we called her up and he said, my whole family were just sick. And he said, this was just a cycle. It was a vicious cycle. It was a routine. It went on and on and on and on. One day we called her up and said, we got to come over. You got to pray for us. My whole family's sick. And she said, I'm sick. Don't come. And he's like, we're coming. And she said, you don't understand. I'm sick. I don't have time today. I don't feel like it. Don't you come today. And then she slipped up. Then she slipped up. Say with me, she slipped up.
She slipped up.
She said, there's a revival tent meeting going on down the road. Ooh, Jesus. That's what she said. Most people get excited about that. And she said, there's a pastor down there that prays for the sick. And she said, why don't you go down not knowing that God was going to move? And she said, why don't you go down there and maybe He can get you better today? Guess what happened? They went down there. Hallelujah. They went down there and they got anointed with oil. They got prayed for. They got healed. They got delivered and they got well for a good. That's a fact. Randy, is that a true story? You were there. That's who your God is. Didn't charge him a dime. But that man got saved, radically saved, and became a preacher, and has been a preacher on the Navajo Reservation for years and years and years and years and years now. 3-hour service last night trying to hex Brett Kavanaugh. 3 hours. You know there's a group that going to church right now in the White Mountains? And you know, they're LDS, and they will be in church today 3 hours. Their meeting will be a 3-hour meeting. Their meeting will be a 3-hour meeting. And I don't think they got one tonight. Tonight's just not for the whole congregation. Tonight's just the big dogs. The reality is the night meeting's the big dogs. You find somebody that's serious about what they believe. And they'll commit at a level that the Christian church has forgotten how to do. One of my brothers, he goes to the Philippines and ministers in the Philippines. On Sunday, they'll walk 20 miles to church. They will take their lunch to church on Sunday. They bring live chickens.
Yeah.
So they won't spoil.
Right.
And after the service, they kill the chicken and have chicken dinner.
Yep.
He told me their praise and worship service lasts 3 hours. 3-hour praise and worship service. Wow. 3 hours. That's just the praise and worship service. That's just the praise and worship service. And they see miracles. See the power of God. They do. Why don't we do it? Are you going to stay 3 hours if I preach 3 hours? Are you going to stay for a praise and worship service 3 hours? Okay. You're saying it before God. Okay, so here's the reality. As we see our nation sleeping into the abyss, and when we got people that are so bold will go on YouTube and Facebook and say, hey, we're going to pray to curse Judge Kavanaugh. We're going to pray his wife that he dies and his wife has no husband and his children are fatherless. And the church, what do we do? No, I praise God. There was a group of Christians got together and went and prayed right across the street from them. But they got bummed out when they found out it was 3-hour witch service. Oops. They're going to pray 3 hours? My God. That's the nation you're living in. Now, let me tell you. Of the $10 that 7,000 people came, or 10,000 people came and gave $10 each, the warlock who ran the whatever you call it, 20% was going to go to Planned Parenthood. But he's keeping 80%. My God, if a preacher did that, we'd write him up. He's given 20% to Planned Parenthood, and he's keeping 80%. It's on Facebook. It'll be on YouTube tomorrow. You can go see it. So that's where we are as a nation. And right now, many of us are sitting here thinking, where are we going to have lunch today? All right. Okay. Now that I've got your attention, I'll start the sermon. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name right now, Holy Spirit of God. It's time for your men and women to start preaching the gospel.
Yes.
Not an ear-scratching, ear-tickling word, but a word that confronts our lives. A word that confronts who we are. Yes, I know you love us. I know you love us, Jesus. I know you love us and you'll never leave us and never forsake us. But I know you love us too much to leave us the way we are. Because the Apostle Paul clearly tells us here in Ephesians what we are and what we've come from. And how easy it is to go back. So, Holy Spirit of God, I ask you to anoint this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
How many have ever asked God for something? And then God got real honest with you. Anybody other than myself? You ask God for something very specific. God, I need you to move. I need you to work in an area. Now, I have told you this, but there are parts of this story I have never told you. And I'm going to tell you something today that I never told anybody except my wife. When me and my sons were at a crossroad in our relationship, I went to God as a spiritual man, sought the wisdom of the Lord. Who else do I have to turn to? Who else do I have to turn to, honestly? You know, everything about being a parent is right here. Everything about being a husband is right here. Everything about being an employee is right here. Everything you do in life is right here. There's a word for it. So I went to the Lord and I asked the Lord, I need you to work with me in this relationship with my son. And I don't know where it went south and where it went wrong. And I know none of you have ever had any issues with your children. I get that. I know all of you are spiritual giants and you never had issues. So pray for me. But it reached a point where my son wouldn't talk to me and I'd go in a room, he'd leave, and I just got, God, I don't know what to do. And so the Lord gave me a very specific order of what to do, very specific, very, very specific. And I got news for you, I did not like it. I got news for you, in fact, I told the Lord, I cannot do that. And the Lord was very specific, he said, well, if you don't do it, I can't heal it, I cannot fix this unless you do. Isn't it amazing, we ask God what to do, he tells us what to do, and then we fight him over what he's told us to do? And I said, Lord, this is what the Lord told me to do. He said, when you're working together, and God put us in a situation where we had to work together one summer, hardest summer of my life. And God said, when he back talks you, I don't want you to say a word. I'm the boss. He's working for me. And God told me, when he back talks you, I don't want you to say a word. That's not God. Satan, get behind me. That'll rebuke that devil. He said, I want you to just love him. Don't say a word. I want you to just love him. So, after I went through the laundry list, I said, God, is there any other way? He said, no. He said, you're going to fix what you broke. You're going to fix what you broke, Stephen. You're going to fix what you broke. I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for that. I wanted God to, I dream a genie moment. Boom, and boom. My son just perfectly well. A relationship that's wonderful. And I didn't get an I dream a genie moment. I got a laundry list of stuff God told me to do. So I began to do what God told me to do. And after 2 months, I went to God and I said, this is too hard. And I said this. Do you see the way he treats me? And God said, yes, I do. He treats you the way you treat me. Whoa, you want me to continue today?
Yes.
You really want me to continue today?
Yes.
Do you really want this?
Yes.
This ain't for babies. This is for men and women of God who really want God to do something. This ain't for babies. This ain't the hour of power on TV. This is different. This is God's word that when you need a miracle, maybe God will ask you to do something that you did wrong and you broke it. And God said, to fix it, you're going to be part of it.
Right.
Do you remember when Moses came down off the hill and he had the tablets God had written? God had hewn the tablets. God had written with his finger. And Moses comes down and he's the only man that broke all the Ten Commandments at once. He throws them down and he breaks them. Moses broke the original Ten Commandments God wrote. You know what God said? He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up early in the morning. I want you to hew out of the rock 2 tablets. You hew it out. I'm not going to come down and help you. I'm not going to help you chisel it out. He said, you forget your brothers, you forget your sisters, you go. He said, you and I are now going to get together and we're going to collaborate on fixing this issue. That's what God told Moses. And what's interesting, he told Moses, I'm going to come down out of heaven at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm coming down at 10 a.m. You be up that mountain, come up that mountain with those tablets and meet me at 10 a.m. That's what God told Moses. No excuses. He said, don't bring Aaron, don't bring any of your friends. He said, you did this, and you and I are going to fix this. So I told God, it's too hard, I can't do it. There's got to be another way. God said, no, there's not another way. And when the Lord told me that, He talks to you the way, or treats you the way you treat me at times. It broke my heart. I thought I was an A1 Christian. I thought, oh, I'm a pastor. I never backtalk God. I pray. I read my Bible. I seek God's face. And I murmur. And I complain. Talk about situations. I know none of you ever do that. Pray for me. 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 God said, you really want this fixed? I said, God, I do. And this is when I knew how bad it was. When they were working and the wind was blowing, and it always blows out here. Practices blowing in Linden. It practices right here. So if the wind blows at your house, it gets its practice right here in Linden. We don't encourage it, but it just practices here. One day, this ladder blows over. I thank God I had a cowboy hat on. It hit me, knocked me out. I was laying there on the concrete. When I came to, I looked up. And my son was just standing there, looking at me with a hammer in his hand. Serious. And I know none of your sons would ever do that to you. I know that. And God showed me something. That's where the relationship is today. You really going to tell me you're not going to do it my way? Are you really going to tell me you don't want to do it my way? I got on my knees and I began to seek God. I began to seek Lord. If I can lay there and my son just sitting there looking at me, and God showed me. That's my son. Dad, that's not all there is to this story. Yeah. So, you need God to do something. The reality is, you need God to do something big. God may demand something big from you. Something extraordinary. Something extraordinary. I don't even know how I got on this today. This is not what I was going to preach. The reality is, what God has done for us, God wants us to do for other people. What God has done for us, God wants us to do for other people. And some of those other people might be your son, your daughter, your grandson, your great-grandson. You know, I've met unbelievable Christians that when I talked to them, I found out something amazing. Their life wasn't perfect. And they were still dealing with some of the consequences of bad decisions along the way. I don't care how spiritual you are. You may be dealing, and I'm not going to ask you. I don't want to see you show of hands. I know you're all flesh and blood and mud, and so I know the issues that you have. So God tells the church here at Ephesus through the Apostle Paul, verse 1, Ephesians 2:1. And you hath He quickened who were dead. You were dead in your sins. You were dead in trespasses and sins, in fact, Paul says. Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. What you saw last night in New York was the spirit of the works in the children of disobedience. Look, when you're calling for somebody to die, that's disobedient. in whom also we all had our manner of conversation. The King James says conversation in times past, but manner of lifestyle in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Well, guess what? He just got everybody there. So everybody that says, well, Pastor Steve, I have not done that, committed that sin in the flesh. Well, if you've done it in the mind, the Apostle Paul says, I just got you. In fact, Jesus just said, if you've done it in your mind, you've already committed the sin. In times past, he said, that's how you lived. You lived by, and you were by nature the children of wrath. We were naturally rascals. Okay, I'll say it for a way you men can understand. We were naturally nasty. We were. You don't have to teach a kid how to be wrong. You don't have to teach a kid how to lie. You don't have to teach a kid any of that stuff. They're born and they know how to do it because of the fallen nature of Adam and Eve. So, as we look in Ephesians, and we're going to be in Ephesians for a while, what we understand is where God has placed us. That's where we were. You who were dead in trespasses, you were in the grave. You were dead. You were dead. Praise God. You've got to understand that. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. Spiritually, you were dead. I love verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, were dead, hath quickened us, made us alive with Christ, by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where's your new address? In Christ. Where's your new address? In Christ. Where's your new address?
In Christ.
So your old address was the grave. Dead in your trespasses and sin. You have now been raised up to life in Jesus Christ, and you have now gone from the grave to grace.
Amen.
And you are now living on Grace Boulevard. Grace Avenue. You were on Graveyard Boulevard. And God has changed your position. Say with me, God has changed my position. You were dead. That was your position. God raised you out of that. You were not dead any longer. You have He made alive. You have quickened, and you are now made alive in Christ. You have a new position. Say, I have a new position. Say, I was dead, but I am now living
in Christ.
Woo, I have a new address. So the devil, when he sends you mail, it always goes to your old address. Graveyard Boulevard. And the reality is, we as Christians, we have our old address mail forwarded to our new address in Christ. And so we get all the junk that the devil sends, we still have it forwarded to us. Or worse yet, we go back to the grave and pick it up. Lord, we got to fix him. I can't do anything with him till I do something with you. You know, there's that old saying, don't talk to God about your kids about God until you talk to God about your kids. I have a whole different one. Don't talk to God about your kids until you talk to God about yourself.
That's right.
You know one of the things I've learned in counseling? And I've talked with, you can talk to pastor after pastor and they'll tell you. Generally, when people come and tell me about all the issues in their children, I will find out eventually that most of those issues are in them also. I will find out most of the time those issues are in them also. You see, in the book of Ephesians, it has a twin in the Old Testament in the book of Joshua. See, Joshua tells us that God has given us the land. And he tells Israel, yet you have to go in and possess it. Ephesians tells us God has given us all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus that pertain to life and godliness. But we have to seek it. What did Colossians say? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. What did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Joshua, God said there will be physical warfare to inherit the promise. Ephesians says there will be spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And Paul actually gives us the armor that we have to wear to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil or the schemes or the plans of the devil. Ephesians tells us that we have to wear the armor of God. So the power of God, it is not just in where He was. And many times we as Christians, what happens is, you ever see people and you go in their house and they got Jesus on the cross? Well, I got news for you. Jesus is not on the cross anymore. He got off the cross. I got news for you. He's not in the grave anymore either. He got out of the grave. And the power of Christ is not just where He was and what He did. It's where He is now and what He's doing right now.
Yeah.
Now faith. And so, yes, Jesus says in the communion, He said, you do celebrate my death until I come. So, yes, we celebrate communion. But in the communion process, I found out that God was saying in the Hebrew, shared blessings, shared benefits, shared responsibilities. Shared blessings, shared benefits, shared responsibilities. Wow. In Hebrews, the Apostle Paul says, in lieu of this great salvation that Christ has done, he said, know ye not, he said, and he says that in Hebrews, but he also says, know ye not, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, that your body is a temple. It's not your own. You've been bought with a price. And he said, we have a reasonable service unto God. We have a reasonable service unto God. A reasonable service. In other words, God says, I've shared benefits. I've shared blessings. And we withdraw from responsibilities? God, I'll do whatever you tell me to fix it. Not that. I didn't know you were going to get real with me, God, about me. I didn't know God was going to get real with me about me. I didn't know God was going to get real with me about me. One of the things that God needs to do in the church in America is get real with us about ourselves. Get real with us about ourselves. The reality is most Christians in America today want God as a paramedic. God, I'll call you when I have an emergency. In the meantime, don't bother me. I got it handled. Do you remember when the children of Israel went across the Jordan and God told them, I want you to take the city of Jericho? Anybody remember that Bible story? I want you to take the city of Jericho. And God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get the Ark of the Covenant. And I want you to get the Ark. And I want you to march around Jericho one day, one time. On the second day, what did God say? March around
one
time. The third day, march around one time. Fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, march. But on the seventh day, God said, march around what?
7 times.
How many times?
7 times.
Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? Monday, you need to serve God. Tuesday, you need to serve God. Wednesday, you need to serve God. Thursday, you need to serve God. Friday, you need to serve God. Saturday, you need to serve God. Sunday, you need to serve God at a multiplication of 7 times the normal. Woo! Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Now I know why they have 7-hour services over in India. Now I know why they have 7-hour services. Do you understand what I just told you? That's what the story means. That's what it means. You didn't know you were going to get unloaded on today, did you? God said, first day, march around one time. How many know that you should have daily prayers?
Yes.
How many know you should have read the Bible daily?
Yes.
How many know that? Show me, my God, show me a hand. You know you're supposed to pray.
Yes.
You know you're supposed to read the Bible.
Yes.
You know you're supposed to do that. God says, on Monday, I understand you got to work, you got to do things. Tuesday, I know that. But God says, on Sunday, on the seventh day, look it up. Look it up on the seventh day. What seventh day means spiritually in the Hebrew. On the God's day, God said, on the Lord's day, God said, you come together. He said, I want you to march around there 7 times with the tabernacle of Moses. That's what He said. That's what He said. I might be upsetting some people. I don't care. I'm past the point of caring about that anymore. And I understand the reality of that. But when I see I'm living in a nation that publicly demons of hell will get up and go on Facebook and start cursing a Christian man, a judge on the Supreme Court, and the church sits around and does nothing? My God help us. We're in trouble. If we have a nation that just says, we'll just sit back and we'll curse him. I listened to those curses and chants this morning on Fox News. My God! My God, we need to have a prayer meeting in this country. They did the same thing to our president. My God, we need to have some prayer in this country. It's time for God to quit being a paramedic in our lives. It's time for God to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who He really is. The Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, the end. 3-hour service is what that thing did. In Mark 9, starting with verse 14, Jesus deals with somebody. He deals with a man that his son is possessed. Mark 9. It's also in Matthew 17. It's also in Luke 9:37. You need to understand something. When something's in the gospel once, it's important. When it's in the gospel twice, it's really important. When it's in the gospel three times, you better pay attention. You better read the story in each gospel. Matthew, Mark. I'm in Luke. I got to get over to Mark. Mark chapter 9. Let's start in verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them, straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him and saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to your disciples, and they should cast him out, and they could not do it. And Jesus said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you to bring him unto me? Okay, so let's get the context of what's happening. They come to the disciples, man, this kid is really messed up. The disciples couldn't do anything. So the man comes to Jesus, said, this is what's going on. Your disciples can't do anything. And Jesus gets right to the quick. He cuts right to the quick. You're going to notice in this story, Jesus never addresses the Son. He addresses the Father. And he says this, how long has this been going on? Okay, I'm going to say it another way. How long have you let this go on? How long have you, Father? In this whole context, the Father is the one that Jesus conversates with. He said, how long is it since this has been going on? And he said, since a child. And oft times they throw him in the fire and the waters destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And straightway the Father cried out and said, Lord, I believe. There it is. I believe half of what you say. Help me with my what?
Unbelief.
Help me with my what?
Unbelief.
Jesus said, I think we just found the problem. I think we just found the problem. The problem, Stephen, wasn't your son. The problem was you. My son had heard how I talked. My son had heard how I had complained. My son had heard how I murmured. I think I just figured out the problem. I was the problem. And one day I did the most manly thing I've ever done in my life. I woke up and said, God, I'm the problem. Forgive me. I woke up and said, I'm the problem. God, forgive me. Forgive me of what I have done. I have counseled young men. And in the process of counseling, I have found out the problem came from his mother. In fact, one time the 12-year-old boy finally said, Pastor Steve, can I be honest with you? I said, absolutely, son. He said, of all the things I do, my mother has me do them. Trying to get back at my dad. All the stuff that I do, my mother tells me to do to get back at my dad to hurt my father. So I confronted the mother. Went over like a lead balloon. Left church, never saw her again. You know, in this world today, in the way church is, you can't correct anybody today. And my Bible tells me that the Word of God is given for reproof and it's given for correction.
Yes.
And you want to get somebody mad today? You just give them biblical correction today. Boom. Nobody can be corrected today. My father told me something one time that was one of the most amazing things he ever said to me. He said, son, the day that you cannot be corrected by God is the day God can't do anything with you anymore.
That's right.
He said, the day that you reach that point, you are God. The day you can't be corrected is the day God can do nothing with you. That's a dangerous place to be. So, how do I get myself in a position that God, I'm going to fix these things? Do you remember in the process of going through the tabernacle of Moses? That we started out with Noah's Ark. Boys, I need you to get ready with those PowerPoints. We started out with Noah's Ark. And we found out that the Ark had to be pitched within and pitched without. Pitched within and pitched without. That is the application of Jesus Christ on the outside, Jesus Christ on the inside. Jesus Christ on the outside, Jesus Christ on the inside. The Holy Spirit on the outside, the Holy Spirit on the inside. The Godhead on the outside, Godhead on the inside. The ark was a safe place. And it saved Noah and his family alive. And we found out as we went through the whole tabernacle series, we found out that all that we got, everything that we did, the brazen altar, the table of showbread, everything we did was to get us into the Holy of Holies, where we could come before the presence of God, where we could meet with Him and commune with Him. Meet with Him and commune with Him. And so what we find out is God has put me in a place that if I will trust Him and obey Him and begin to live according to His words and begin to speak His word to every situation of life. How many know your words are powerful?
Yes.
That God has a place for us in an ark. And that person and that ark is the Lord Jesus Christ. What does Paul say? My life is hid in Christ. What does the Ephesians tell us? That we are raised up in Christ. Where's your address today? In Christ. It's not on Graveyard Boulevard. It's in Grace Avenue in Jesus Christ. That's my new address, Jesus Christ. In Christ. And so, when Christ was on the cross and He said, it is finished, and the Roman soldier put the spear in Jesus' side, we know that the church came out. The bride of Christ came out. Just like Eve came from Adam's side, the bride of Christ came out of Jesus' side. And the reality is, it didn't just let the church come out, it let us get in Christ. Now I'm in Christ. I have a new address. So, now what happens in Christ, all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. And so we have now gone from a place of Graveyard Boulevard of living like the enemy, living like the world, talking like the world, that in Christ we now talk God's talk. We now talk the Bible. We now talk the Word of God to every situation. So with God, all things are possible. If God be for me, who can be against me? And so we got to change the way we talk. And so I begin to change everything that I acted and did around my son. And little by little, he began to see a new creation, a new man. I was born again, but I was living unto myself. And little by little, it began to change. And when I changed the way I approached things, and when I changed the way when things happened, the way I reacted, he's like, who's this new guy? Where's Stephen? Where's Dad? See, rage ran in my family. It ran in my family, strong and hard. Terrible. But then one day in my daddy's life, it ran into the blood of Jesus Christ. Because that blood runs too. That runs too. And it's like, Lord, I need to deal with this issue. And I did not know that. I thought if my dad dealt with it, I didn't have to deal with it. You know what? I got news for you. You're going to have to deal with what came down from your parents. Cain and Abel. Where did Cain get that crazy thought? God came to him and said, why are you so downcast? He said, if you do well. If you do well, won't it be good with you? He said, it's a choice. He said, if you don't, sin lies at the door. So God said, I'm going to take a born-again believer and I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, that's a daily thing. That's a daily thing. In fact, in Phoenix on the freeway, it's a minute-by-minute thing. Don't kid yourself down there. Lord have mercy. If you do well. And what you can find out is, even as a believer, you can be in rebellion unto God. You can be in rebellion unto God. And God said, I need to fix something in your life, and I'm going to use this situation with your son to fix what I need to fix. And it's to the degree that you're so desperate to have it fixed, you'll do whatever needs to be done. God doesn't cause these things. He works around these things. God didn't cause it. God didn't say, hey, I'm going to have you be a stupid dad to your son. God did not do that. It just came natural. Just came natural. One of the things I did is when we started our business, we didn't have any money. So I told my son, I don't have any money to pay you, but I'll pay your cousins. And God showed me that's where it started. I had to pay the cousins because of their mom and dad, right? Now I'm not going to tell you how stupid I am. I'm stopping right there. That's good enough. I had no idea the problems I was going to cause. My God, my God. Sometimes I wonder what my IQ really is. I really, really do. And what you find out in life is there are certain things that you need God to fix, but you've got to go to God and get them made right. You've got to go to God and... I know. You've got to go to God and get it right. God, I'll do whatever. Well, not that, though. I didn't know you were going to be real with me. I thought you were going to give me just a quick little just snap of the finger recipe and fix this. I said, no, I'm going to fix you.
Amen.
I'm going to fix you. I love you enough to fix you.
Amen.
Because whether you know it or not, what the enemy has is a plan. Do you not know that God has given us the armor to stand against the methods and the schemes the devil has? The devil has a scheme against you, whether you know it or not. He has a scheme and a plan. I love that God has thoughts and plans for us in Jeremiah. But Ephesians 6 tells me that the devil has thoughts and plans too. The wiles and the intentions and the schemes and the methods is what that word means, the wiles. That's what it means in Greek. So in Romans chapter 3, Paul says something that's interesting. He brings out a word that's only mentioned one other time in the Bible. It's never mentioned in the Old Testament. Romans 3:23, and you all know this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that was in and is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Is there boasting then? No, it's excluded. By the law of works? No. By the law of faith. There wherefore we conclude that man is justified by faith without the law. And so I had to do a little finding out, propitiation. How many know in this room what a propitiator is? Because whether you know it or not, Satan has a plan to destroy your life. He does. He has a plan to destroy your children's lives and your children's children's lives. My Bible says so. But God, in Christ Jesus, where I'm now living in my new address, that I'm living in heavenly places, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, has made this possible. Now, I'm not living on Graveyard Boulevard. And now I'm living in Christ. So now that I'm living in Christ, I can act like Christ, think like Christ, be like Christ, and not be stupid like Stephen used to be.
Amen.
And I know none of you have that problem, but I used to. And God has put us in an ark, and that person is Christ, Jesus. And Paul talks about the propitiation by the blood. So guys, I need that first PowerPoint. This is what a propitiator is. This right here. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is what keeps us from being burned up and burned alive and destroyed in this earth.
Yeah.
It's a heat shield on spaceships as they re-enter the earth's atmosphere. And they're going from one atmosphere to another atmosphere. That's what keeps it. If you don't have that propitiation, I got news for you. Satan can burn you up. And you can be born again, but if you've got an issue in your life and you just won't get it fixed, I'm going to tell you, it opens the room and the door for the devil to come in and start to burn you up. It will. I didn't know what to do to fix this relationship. I did not know what to do. And God said, I'm going to start with you. But we got to deal with your sin issue. Lord, you hear how He talks to me? Yeah, He learned it from you. I know you don't talk like that ever. I know that. But the enemy was trying to burn up our relationship, trying to destroy it. Can I tell you why? Because he's got anointing and call of God on his life. There, that should be an amen. God said, I'm going to put you in Jesus Christ, Stephen. I'm going to fix this issue. Your son is not the issue. You're the issue. And because of what you're doing, you're burning up this relationship. You're destroying this relationship. And God said, I've made it to where this situation, I'm going to use it because you're desperate enough to come to me and ask and beg. I'll fix it my way. There's no other way to fix it. Our relationship was burning up, brothers and sisters. It was burning up. Do you remember, guys, go to the next one. This is the Space Shuttle Columbia. No, this is Challenger. Do you know that when the spaceships return to Earth, they have to come in at the right attitude? That's what it's called. 40 degrees. It has to be 40 degrees. So that the only thing that gets reflected on is the heat shield. 40 degrees, and they have to have it perfectly centered with the Earth's, what do you call that? The
horizon.
Thank you. Right attitude, 40 degrees, and they survive. Put the next picture up. Remember this famous picture of what happened with the Challenger in 1993? Remember that?
Yes.
Their propitiator failed. Their propitiator failed. And ye hath he made a propitiation for your sin. God said, I've made a propitiation for where you goofed up as a father. I've made a way of escape. But you're going to have to come to me, you're going to have to confess this to me, and we're going to have to get this under the blood, and we're going to have to work on this, and we're going to change the way you act. You know, repentance means turn 180 degrees, not 360. I heard a guy preaching one time. He said, turn 360 degrees. I'm right back where I was. No, repentance means turn 180 degrees, go the other way. That's what it means. Because Satan was trying to do this to my relationship with my son. trying to destroy it. I know fathers who don't speak to their sons today. I know a son that just shot his father. My God, what is going on in this world? But go to the last slide, gentlemen. Do you know where we get the word propitiator? Do you know where we get the word propitiator? We get it from the Hebrew, and it comes from the lid of the Ark of the Covenant with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we get the word propitiator. It is a covering. That's what it comes from. And it will keep you from being burned up and destroyed. It'll keep your marriage from being burned up and destroyed. God tried to destroy, an enemy tried to destroy our marriage. I can tell you that right now. If anybody in this room, I can tell you right now, the devil came against your marriage. I guarantee you. If you're born again, I guarantee the devil came against your marriage. I guarantee he will. For this reason shall a man leave his mother and father, cling to his wife. Satan hates those words. Anything that God has instituted, Satan will try to come and destroy. Try to destroy our marriage. Try to destroy our relationship. Try to destroy this church. But I'm here to tell you today, there is a propitiator. There is a propitiator. But here's the deal in the spaceship. See, God is our propitiation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it was the astronaut, it was their responsibility to set the spaceship at the right angle. It had to be exactly at 40 degrees and it couldn't be turned right or to the left. It had to come in exactly on the horizon of the earth so that they did not burn up. So God says, I'll do something, but you're involved in the process. Moses, you threw the tablets down, but you and I are going to fix them. Stephen, you messed up your relationship with your son, and now we got to fix it. Now we got to fix it. There may be something God's asking you to do that it's a fix, that you're asking God to do it alone. And God is saying, no, you're going to be a part of it. You're part of this fix. I cannot believe God did that to Moses. He didn't yell at Moses, cuss at Moses. I thought Moses would go to hell after he threw down the Ten Commandments and broke them. I would have sent Moses to hell if I was God. Good thing I ain't God. We wouldn't have had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy. I mean, Moses, what are you thinking, brother? And Moses gives us all hope. But he throws him down and breaks him. And God says, okay. Get a hammer and a chisel. Yep. You get to work. You hew out two tablets of stone. Yeah. You! And I'm not even going to help you do it. And he said, I demand you work all night long to fix this. He said, I want those ready in the morning by 10 a.m. Uh-huh. He said, at 10 a.m. I better see you coming up the mountain. Because I'm coming down from heaven. That's what God told Moses. He told him that. And God said, you hew them out and you create the tablets. And he said, I'll write again. I'll write again. I'll write again. There are some things you think they've burned up and they're gone. And God says, give me a chance. Give me a chance. Come to me. Ask me. Seek me. Ask me what to do to fix it. Yeah. Stephen, ask me. I told the Lord for 4 years, man, he's a hard-headed kid. Man, Lord, I don't know where he got that. I don't know where he got that, Lord. Why is this kid so hard-headed? I don't know where he got it. Anybody know where he got it?
From his dad.
From his mom. Hey, amen. God bless you. Yeah. Double blessing on Randy. But what I found out is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a propitiator. And I don't care how born again you think you are, if there's something you've been praying for and it hasn't happened, I dare you. I dare you. God, this problem might be partly or solely because of me. I come to you today. I submit to your will, your word, and your blood. And if there be any wicked way within me, show me. Cleanse my heart, O God. Make me right before you today. I'm going to tell you that's a prayer God will answer. David says, a contrite, a broken and contrite heart and spirit, God will not reject. In no way will He reject that. And God said, let's get this under the blood. I've got a propitiator. I've got mercy. And that's where we get the word propitiation and propitiator today. It came from the Hebrew that says God will deflect what the enemy's trying to do to destroy you. That's where we get the word. That is honest to God how we got the word. That's the first propitiator right there. There it is. There it is. There it is. And it's powerful. It's powerful. And it's 12 o'clock. Holy Spirit of God, I just ask right now you just minister in this house. But God, there are certain things we need you to do. There are certain areas we need you to work. There are certain things, Lord, that are bigger than us. That I never knew in my life. I never understood that some of the issues I needed you to move on, I needed you to move on me first. I didn't understand that concept. And God, you have taught me that. And I ask you to teach this body, your children today, I ask you to teach them this. That if there's something you're praying for, if you need God to move on something else, seek Him and see if He needs to move on you first. Because there is propitiation through His precious blood. There's a way to change history. There's a way to change destiny. There's a way to change the wiles of the devil and the plans of the devil against you, your family, your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. There's a way to change it. God said, I have this propitiator. And Father, I praise you and thank you for moving in that area of my life, redeeming that relationship with my son. I praise you and thank you, Father. I praise you and thank you for that. One of the greatest things God ever showed me was this, and this is a secret you need to get. Confession stops prosecution. The day I went to the Lord and I confessed the way I had been a father to my son, what I found out is the devil couldn't prosecute me anymore about it because I had confessed it.
That's right.
Prosecution was done.
Yes. Amen.
All the stupid things that I did, they were over. I had confessed them. The propitiator of Jesus' blood had done amazing work. And when the devil came to accuse me, he had nothing to accuse me of. I confessed it.
Yes.
Go talk to Jesus about it, devil.
Mm-hmm.
It's under His blood.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's my propitiation, dude. I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you will, stand for the blessing. Oh, the heart of God towards His children. 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 Father, I just thank You today for the grace that You have in store for each of us. In store for each of us. The Father, it is Your will that what's in heaven come to earth in our lives. It is Your will. Father, I just pray right now for every person in the sound of my voice. If there's an area of need that they need to get things right with You, it stops the prosecution. It stops the devil being able to prosecute. Father, I praise You and thank You for showing me that. There was a day the devil could not longer work in my son's mind about me, because the propitious blood of Jesus Christ had stopped it. There was a day that God stopped it. Today I pray that for any person under the sound of my voice. If you need some area, some situation in your life, you need the enemy to quit using children, grandchildren, sons, daughters against you, today's the day. The precious, efficacious blood of Jesus Christ is a propitiator.
And he can stop what the enemy and the onslaughts of the enemy against those relationships today. I pray that for every person here. Lord, I thank you that you are a God that is loving and kind, but you're a God that is just and truthful. And I praise you, I serve an honest God. I serve a God that loves me enough to be honest with me. I praise you and thank you for that. If you will, get your hands up. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you His peace. I want you to listen to those words. The Lord bless you and keep you. Oh, Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Ooh. And God said, if you put my name on your children, I'll seek them. I'll seek them into four generations. And your children's children's children will serve the living God of Israel. Father, I thank you that you are faithful. You are a faithful God to your children. I thank you and praise you for it. God, you are faithful. God, you are faithful. Father, I just pray right now as we go in this week. The Lord will march around one time on Monday, one time on Tuesday, seven times on Sunday.
Amen.
Seven times on Sunday. Seven times on Sunday. The Lord bless you. You are dismissed. Have a good week in the Lord. Know that there's propitiation.